You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation, and welcome to your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every game, news item, rumor, and more. Thank you for subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or on Himalaya. My name is David Ramil. Well, the starters have been selected for the 2020 All-Star Game, and Jimmy Butler is not one of them. In a surprising bit of news, it seems like Trae Young from the Atlanta Hawks has been selected as a starter in the backcourt. Jimmy Butler, of course, listed as a frontcourt positional player. Pascal Siakam earning the nod over him, along with Joel Embiid and Giannis Antetokounmpo. It seems like Kemba Walker getting that fifth spot with the All-Star selection as a starter. So it's Trae Young, Kemba Walker in the backcourt, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Siakam from Toronto, and Joel Embiid as the frontcourt. And that's the way it'll play out as far as the starters are concerned. And obviously a lot of people are upset about it. And there are some things to break down. Look, as far as the positional breakdown is concerned, Miami, the Heat front office and organization submitted Jimmy's name as a frontcourt player. I'm not sure what the rationale was for that. I'm not sure if they'll address it publicly or if they'll clarify why that selection was made. But I guess they assumed that he was going to be playing more forward with Kendrick Nunn playing the two as much as he has, Duncan Robinson playing significantly. The starting lineup for the Heat currently is a little bit odd in that there is no clear point guard position because they've been getting so much ball handling from Jimmy. And so, in essence, he's been playing the point guard position to some degree, but he's not really a guard. With Duncan Robinson out there, him and his shooting, he spaces the floor like a shooting guard would, but it's just the positions don't really matter. Miami elected to have Jimmy listed as a forward, and so he was kind of forced out of the voting when it came to selecting forwards and front court positional players because of Pascal Siakam, who had a great start to the season. He's only played 33 games, but that's not that much of a difference. Jimmy has played in 38 games. Siakam has played in 33. And his numbers are, in some ways, better than Jimmy's. He's a more efficient shooter. He's a better scorer. And Jimmy, has some qualities, obviously, that make him a better selection as far as an All-Star is concerned. He's led Miami to the second-best record in the Eastern Conference. You look at the starters and the way they played out, and the most glaring problem, obviously, is Trae Young. He is not, in my opinion, deserving of an All-Star selection. I've seen the rationale that he's putting up big numbers. Great. Those are empty calories. I've made this argument before, and I'll continue to make it. Trae Young is a fine player. He's a hell of a passer, a great shooter, or at least a very good shooter, especially from long range. But he's putting up a lot of these points on a team that's not going anywhere, that is missing any kind of quality NBA players other than him. John Collins is another quality starter for the Hawks, but he's been out for most of the season. And so Young has put up a lot of points in his opportunity, and he's made the most of it. But he is not deserving. I personally would have preferred Kyle Lowry from the Toronto Raptors as a starter. I think he's more of a well-rounded player who's helped Toronto to a very good place in the Eastern Conference standings. He's a two-way player. He's a good shooter. He does all the right things. And that would have been my choice if I had gotten a vote. But I can see the rationale for Young as far as the backcourt is concerned. Walker is absolutely deserving. He's putting up some really good points. He's very, very good as a scorer. Still has his problems defensively, but Boston is still a very good team, and he's deserving. It's hard to say how it all played out with Jimmy. I think, obviously, he was not going to earn the fan voting because he's just not that kind of a name. Like, Trae Young is putting up points. I'm surprised that he's earned the kind of fan votes that he did, but his voting, his scoring is so electric that I guess a lot of people kind of gravitate towards that. Jimmy is the kind of player who does everything well. That's always been the quote-unquote knock on him, is that he does so many things well. He's always been very efficient as far as his offense is concerned, and his defense has always been at a very, very high level. But you don't get rewarded for defense when it comes to All-Star selections. That's not why you get picked there. He'll eventually make the All-Star team, but he'll be a reserve. He just won't be a starter. As far as Siakam is concerned, I think there was a lot of excitement about his performance earlier in the season, and so that's why he got all the votes that he did. But going back to Jimmy, he also was sixth most in as far as player voting is concerned. I saw a lot of people kind of tweeting about what a surprise that was, and I'm not all that surprised. I think when you look at Jimmy and the fact that he's burned bridges in Chicago, Minnesota, and Philadelphia, and he is as acerbic as personality as he is, it's not surprising to me that a lot of players around the league may not necessarily support Jimmy. Like, you have to be a certain type of person, a certain type of player, in order to appreciate what Jimmy Butler is and does. And the fact that he's fit so well in Miami, though, that's all recent. That's all the fact that he's beloved in that locker room or appreciated in that locker room, and that so many guys root for him and support him and have kind of gravitated towards that type of personality is one thing. But that wasn't the case last year with the 76ers. And I think there's a lot of pull there from Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid and others. You look at what he did in Chicago when he criticized the young players there. And, of course, in Minnesota, when he criticized guys like Karl-Anthony Towns. He's a difficult personality. He is always going to be a guy who challenges people, who wants them to be at their very best, to work their hardest. And that's not always something that's appreciated around the league. That's not adopted around the league. Guys around the NBA don't necessarily want to be that kind of a person. They don't want to put that face forward. It's not to say that they're not hardworking in their own way, but they don't necessarily want to be associated with that kind of attitude. And Jimmy is very, very direct, even when he's questioning you and challenging you, and also being somewhat dichotomous in his personality. He is a guy who can flip-flop around a little bit on his attitude and things, and we're seeing the very best version of him this year, but I don't think that's a version that a lot of teams and a lot of people around the league have seen. And so I'm not surprised that he's not as popular amongst his peers as many of you would expect him to be. It's great to see him appreciated in Miami. And look, you can look to to Dwayne Wade's most recent comments about Jimmy, where he said that his crazy, and this is kind of a quote, a paraphrase one, that his crazy fits along with Pat Riley's crazy and Eric Spoelstra's crazy. And that's about cultural alignment. And that's a big phrase that Spoelstra uses when it comes to Jimmy. His attitude, his work ethic fits very, very well with Miami. And something I've been saying for years. I mean, if you recall, if you're a longtime listener of this show, you know I've been saying this for years, that Jimmy's dedication to the work is, bar none, one of the top in the league. And I think he is obsessive about it. And I think it fits so well with what Miami's culture is like. And so it makes a lot of sense that he fits well here, that he's approved of here, that he's appreciated here, and that the guys in the locker room gravitate towards that again. But around the league, that might not necessarily be the same way, and they don't feel the same way about Jimmy. So there's not much else to say about it. He's going to be elected as a reserve. He's going to make the All-Star game. He just wasn't chosen as a starter. And I saw the rationale also from some people saying, look, this is what we want out of Jimmy Butler. He's going to be a little pissed off. And that's the kind of version of him that is the best version of him, because that's going to be a version that's trying to prove something to himself, to his peers, and around the league. And he's going to come back even more engaged as a result. And so I'm fine with it. I was a little upset about the Trae Young selection, but I don't think that necessarily conflicts with Jimmy's not being chosen as a starter. But either way, those are my own feelings about Trae Young, that he is a lot of empty calories, a lot of points, because he is a one-way player. He does not play defense. He is a glaring hole on defense. And his numbers, as great as they may be, just don't reflect any kind of significant winning. And so I have questions about it. The whole All-Star voting process is somewhat problematic anyway. And so there's no perfect solution for this. And Jimmy just isn't the kind of player that casual fans around the league and internationally gravitate towards. And so that's just the way it is. And it's unfortunate. I would have liked for Miami to get the kind of recognition and for Jimmy to get the kind of recognition that I feel he deserves. But I don't criticize the Siakam voting. I'm much more critical of Trae Young being selected as a starter, but that's neither here nor there. It wouldn't have changed anything if Lowry had been selected as a starter. It wouldn't have changed Butler's standing anyway. So anyway, I'll get into some listener questions next, and I'll answer some questions about Deion Waiters, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and more, but you're listening to Locked On Heat. Between football season, NBA, and the start of the college basketball season, it's time to get off the sideline and get in on the action with MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy who likes to bet a little to win a lot, try Parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of the big favorites this week, Parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to MyBookie.ag, because no one gives you more ways to win. If you're tired of watching the games from the couch with nothing to gain, MyBookie wants to get your mind off everything else and back on the game. If you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. Just enter the promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code LOCKEDONNBA to take advantage of MyBookie's generous sign-up offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. With James Johnson and Kelly Olynyk stepping up recently, does Miami still need to make a trade? I'll answer that in the next segment, but first, the latest news on Derrick Jones Jr., who has accepted, as we all projected he would be, an invitation to participate in the slam dunk contest during All-Star Weekend. So Miami seems poised to have a number of players representing the Heat in the All-Star Weekend. Not only will they have Jimmy Butler likely selected as a reserve, Bam Adebayo is also likely to be selected as a reserve, but you've already got Derek accepting the position as a slam dunk participant. You've got Duncan Robinson as a potential participant in the three-point shooting contest. Tyler Hero more than likely will be chosen as a Rising Stars participant. So that's a number of players there. Maybe even a case could be made for Kendrick Nunn as a choice for the Rising Stars game. So there's a lot of different players there. We won't know about this until the week before the All-Star game, which is scheduled to take place on February 16th. So we still have plenty of time, almost a month away. But, as far as Derek's selection is concerned, I think it's well-deserved. He is an electric athlete. He is incredibly athletic. He always is good for at least one highlight-level dunk in during in-game situations. And I think he can do a great job. He's already participated in the slam dunk contest, but I think there wasn't enough. He was the kind of player during his tenure with the Phoenix Suns where he had this kind of springy athleticism to him, and that wasn't necessarily enough of what fans and voters wanted to see. And I think, now that's it's changed a little bit. He's earned his stripes a little bit. I think he's proven himself as a regular rotational player in the NBA, and I think that changes some. And I think he's also got a good combination of the right attitude, the right level of athleticism, and he can pull off some pretty fantastic dunks. I think he's going to be creative. I think he's going to try to do this to the best of his ability. And I think he's taking this pretty seriously. And I actually think that he'll win this contest. I think he has the right level of skill to make this a real competition. Now, there's a certain element of showmanship there, which I question. If there's any kind of hole in Derek's resume as far as of a slam dunk contest participant, it's that I'm not sure if he has that kind of showmanship. I don't think anybody's gravitating towards Derrick Jones' personality from a casual fan's perspective. And so much of the slam dunk contest is whether or not you can get the crowd involved, whether you can get people cheering for you. There's no denying that Derrick can dunk the hell out of the ball, that he can, sky to unbelievable levels and flush the ball down pretty effectively. But can he get the crowd engaged? And that's something that I question. And so it's going to be interesting to see how he ties it all together. I'm sure he has a few things up his sleeve that he's worked on, and he's taking some pride. He's kind of hinted at this, and I think he wants to show that he can be a winner at this level. And look, Miami's already had a slam dunk winner in Harold Miner Jr. I mean, that was pretty impressive a few years ago. Obviously, a lot of new Heat fans might not remember the name Harold Miner, but he was a hell of a player who was christened Baby Jordan many, many years ago, and he never quite lived up to that hype, but he was a hell of a dunker. And I think Derek is right up there with him. So it's going to be fun to watch Derek Jones Jr. representing the Heat. And it's always fun to see anybody, representing your team in these kind of competitions. You're not going to have anybody in the skills contest, but you'll have somebody in the Rising Stars probably, somebody in the three-point shootout, and also in the slam dunk contest, and, of course, in the All-Star game itself. So it's just, I think it's fair to notice that Miami is getting that kind of recognition that they deserve because they have the second best record in the Eastern Conference. They are a very good team. They've surprised a lot of people, myself included, this season to achieve a great level of success on the floor. And I think that's indicative of the kind of talent they have, the kind of work that they've put in. And for Derek to get this kind of recognition, I think, again, is well-deserved. And I'm curious to see how he turns it around. I also got some questions regarding Dion Waiters because a couple weekends ago he did post some cryptic messages on in social media, and so a lot of people were curious about where his standing is with the team right now, and I don't think there's been any kind of clarification whatsoever. If you haven't seen those messages, they've probably been deleted at this point. He posted a kind of peace sign, kind of saying peace out, maybe, on an Instagram story, I think. And look, I'm not following a lot of these things. I don't see these things as they're happening, and so I see pictures of them like everybody else does, and I can't say that I read too much of it. Dion was in the locker room after Monday's game against the Kings, and that was the only time I've seen him in the locker room, to be honest with you. I think I've seen him maybe once other time, and he didn't seem upset. He didn't seem particularly out of place there. It's just, he's in a very weird place right now because he wants to contribute. You're looking at what James Johnson is able to do and has gotten himself out of the Eric Spoelstra doghouse in order to play at a pretty high level and contribute in clutch situations. He was there in the overtime period against the Wizards on Wednesday, and that's just something that Dion has not been able to achieve. He can't get out of the doghouse just yet. I'm not sure if he's necessarily trying as hard. I'm not sure if he's doing the same things that James Johnson did in order to get out of the doghouse. But either way, I wouldn't read too much into it. It's not to say that a lot of people are looking at that peace out thing and saying, well, that's him saying he's out of Miami, that he's on his way out by virtue of a trade or something like that. That might happen. I don't think there's a buyout likely because of the amount of money that he's owed over the next couple of seasons. So that doesn't seem to be likely to be the case. If a trade is going to be playing out, the Heat have probably had discussions with a number of teams. We've seen reports from The Athletic that Trevor Ariza was on Miami's radar, and so it's possible that they were looking to move Dion Waiters in exchange for Ariza. I'm not sure if we can read that much into it. There's always going to be a lot of discussion between Pat Riley in the front office and other people around the league. I'll never forget maybe a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, there was a great breakdown on the whole process of the trade deadline and the acquisition of a player. And it's always something to keep in mind. A lot of these trades happen as a result of relationships. Whomever Pat Riley has a relationship with around the league, and that changes from year to year as GMs are fired and replaced, and whether or not you have that kind of level of trust established with ex-GM or ex-president of basketball operations. And these discussions are ongoing and they're constant. They're not just happening a minute before. We find out about them, minutes before they're finalized. And then even that process has to go through the league office in order to get approval and things of that sort. So the fact that you have a Adrian Wojnarowski from ESPN or a Shams Charania of the Athletic posting these news that X player has been traded, these things have been in the work for a long, long time. And when it comes to Dion, he's been shopped around before. This isn't anything new. I'm just not sure that it's going to happen. I'm not sure that any team wants to take a chance on paying his salary for the rest of this season and next, and not sure what kind of player they're going to get, whether he's going to be engaged, whether he's going to be a problem in the locker room, whether he's going to be an issue on the court. And there are questions about what he can actually do around the league. I think a lot of people question whether or not he's a competent scorer or an efficient one. He has problems finishing at the rim. We've seen him improve his three-point shooting during his Heat tenure, but is that consistent? Is that going to be something that we can count on? So when it comes to other teams, I'm not sure that they're looking at the kind of assets Miami has and is willing to trade and wants to make a deal with Miami. You're not going to get exchange a superstar level player for Kelly Olynyk and Dion Waiters. That's not reality. You have to give up something that you have that's of value. And maybe that includes Kendrick Nunn. Maybe it includes Tyler Hero. I could see those kinds of trades happening. And I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, look, in 2004, the Heat were coming off one of the most surprising runs in franchise history. They had a rookie named Dwayne Wade who carried them and was their best scorer during the playoffs. You had a young up-and-coming player in Caron Butler and another young and up-and-coming player who really desperately wanted to come to Miami and Lamar Odom. And also a veteran who had chosen to come to Miami as a free agent in 2000 named Brian Grant. And Pat Riley traded all of them. He traded Grant, Butler, and Odom in exchange for Shaquille O'Neal. Now, that's not to say that there's a superstar-level trade in the works here, but it's not, you know, Riley is more than willing to make the kind of move necessary in order to win and win now. And whether or not he wants to capitalize this season or wait until 2021, we're not quite sure. We haven't gotten any kind of sense from Riley that a move needs to happen. But if he can acquire a superstar, he'll trade Tyler Hero. He'll trade anybody on this roster with the exception, I think, of Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler. So everybody else on this roster is certainly open to be moved. And I don't know whether or not a move is going to happen. But these are good questions to have, I guess, as we're a month away from the trade deadline. There are a lot of questions. A lot of people question whether or not Miami is a potential title contender this year. They're a very, very good team. They've won a lot of close games. Obviously, they're 8-0 in overtime, and so I think that changes things a little bit. You look at the talent they have, and when it comes to the playoffs, it probably would be better to have a superstar-level player, whether it's a Jrue Holiday or somebody else. Again, we're not quite sure. I am not necessarily the same level of in the dark as you all are, but I don't have any information for you, and I don't think anybody else does either. I think we've heard some things. We've heard some rumors and scuttlebutt and things of that sort, but I wouldn't be surprised if Miami stands pat at the trade deadline, and that's no pun intended. Either way, is Giannis Antetokounmpo the right fit for Miami? Is there an even better option? I'll answer that in the next segment. You're listening to Locked On Heat. To listen to and subscribe to new and archived episodes of Locked On Heat on Himalaya, as well as on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. If you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and review, especially if it's a good one. So I've gotten so many questions from all of you, and you've done an incredible job of submitting questions after games, during games, on days off. Just this team is fun to watch, and it's great to see the kind of level engagement from you, the listener, but also fans of the team. And so I wanted to get into a couple of mailbag questions that I haven't been able to answer in recent weeks, and just worth bringing up. And this one comes in from Steve Kolakidis. Sorry if I mispronounce this. I assume it's Greek. Steve asks, everyone talks about 2021-2022 as the year of Giannis Antetokounmpo and Victor Oladipo. I think Beal is a better choice as he doesn't have the same injury issues and history. What do you think? Who would be the better option? Now, this question comes in fresh off of Beal's 38-point performance against Miami, and so it's easy to see why Beal might be a good choice here. I think if you're ranking these right now, Giannis, Bradley Beal, Victor Oladipo, Oladipo clearly comes in third. And that's maybe a little bit of recency bias because we haven't seen the kind of version that he'll be once he comes back from his leg injury. We saw what kind of player he could be, a borderline all-star candidate. He's a good defender. He tries very hard. There's an obvious chemistry between him and Dwayne Wade. They both follow Tom Crean, their respective college coaches. Obviously, Tom Crean coached Wade at Marquette, and he coached Oladipo at Indiana. So there's a connection there. Oladipo trains in Miami during the offseason. And so I think Oladipo makes a lot of sense. I think he's also the third best option between Beal and Giannis Antetokounmpo. If you're looking at Giannis or Beal being the real question here, which one of those is a better fit? I think it's a very tough one. You're looking at Bradley Beal, who comes in. He provides some incredible level scoring. He's a great shooter. He's also an underrated passer and playmaker. I think a guy who's shown during the absence of John Wall that he can be a ball handler, playmaker, and creator on offense. In addition to a guy who can create off the bounce and get his shot off whenever he wants to. But Giannis is also an unstoppable force. And so when you look at what Miami will likely be, the team that they'll be in 21 during the 2021-22 season, it's tough to say. Like, I find myself at a loss to see whether or not Beal or Giannis would be the better option. Either one would be a great fit in Miami. I think if you have Bradley Beal here, he'd be a natural scorer, a guy who would do a lot of what we're seeing from Kendrick Nunn and Tyler Hero. A combination of those two players, I think, and a better level, more proven player. One who will also getting paid a lot more money than either of those players in 2021. So if you can add a guy like Giannis, and you can slide Jimmy down to the two spot and then have Giannis in there at the three, I think that's probably the better fit. Giannis is an incredible defender. He can guard one through five. He creates a lot of his own shots. He can get to the rim so easily. And he's the kind of superstar. Well, he's a generational type player. And you can't pass up the opportunity to add a guy like that. I love Bradley Beal's game. I think he's fun to watch. He's a hell of a scorer, as I mentioned. He's a great player. Great to talk to off the court. But Giannis is one of a kind, and we've never seen, I think, a player like him before, and he's still so young, still so developing. If we take into consideration the fact that just this summer he said he was at 60% of his development, we've seen him take another level in his shooting this year, and he can get even better, more consistent at that. There's still room for him to grow. In a couple seasons, when he becomes a free agent and Miami is there, they'll want to add Giannis. And so I think Giannis is the clear favorite. I like Beal. I think he's a good fit here, and if you can't get Giannis and you can get Bradley Beal somehow, you absolutely make that move. And Victor Oladipo isn't a very bad consolation prize. He's a great fit also. A good cultural fit, a good player, a guy who would appreciate Heat culture, I think, but Giannis is one of a kind. And so if you have the opportunity to add a guy like Antetokounmpo, you take it every absolutely time that you can. And so I think he's clearly the number one option, with Beal in second and Oladipo third. This next question comes in from Jeff Nicholas, who writes, as Kendrick Nunn and Bam Adebayo have progressed, Miami's need in the absence of Justice Winslow has shifted at least a little bit towards a 3-and-D wing rather than a ball handler. Any realistic targets? Well, Jeff's point is pretty clear. If we're hearing these rumors about Trevor Ariza being on Miami's radar, that makes a lot of sense, that they wanted somebody like Ariza who was a proven veteran, a guy who adds more of that 3-and-D component, and is not a natural ball handler. Kendrick obviously he's an okay ball handler. He doesn't really create a lot for others. He's more looking to get his shot off, and he does so at a pretty high level. Bam, more of a natural passer or a guy that does try to get other people engaged. But Jeff's point is that you don't necessarily need a playmaker, and so you need somebody who's more of a fit a particular role there, a guy who can complement the players that are already on this roster. And so a 3-and-D wing makes a lot of sense. A guy who can guard in the perimeter, who can create turnovers, and who can provide some occasional three-point shooting. Maybe a higher level of, not necessarily Duncan Robinson's shooting, but at least his perimeter defense, because we've seen that Robinson can't be exploited on the perimeter when it comes to his defense. And so Ariza is a natural fit. But a guy that I think is probably on Miami's radar is Robert Covington of Minnesota. He makes a lot of sense. He's young. He does provide that 3-and-D component. He's a good shooter. He's a good defender. He's a guy who has proven himself over the course of his career, from a guy who was just an afterthought in Philadelphia during the process era. He was a high-level scorer, a high-level starter alongside Joel Embiid and Tobias Harris and things of that sort. He has shown that he can be a complimentary player, and he's on an affordable contract. He's still young. I think he makes a lot of sense with Miami, and it's whether or not Miami is willing to give up on Justice Winslow, and they, if they can't count on his continuous development. Look, right now you're not relying on Winslow as a ball handler. What we saw from him at the start of the season isn't what we're likely to get now, because the ball handling duties have fallen to Jimmy Butler, to a lesser extent Nunn, Robinson, and others, and Goran Dragic off the bench. So Justice's most likely role is to be that kind of high-level defender, a guy who can guard one through five, and Covington certainly can do that. And so if you have concerns about Winslow and his health and whether or not he'll be a consistent impact player, you go for a guy like Covington who could slide in naturally and do a lot of what Winslow can do and at a pretty high level. So I think he's a good natural fit there. But keep in mind, you're also getting a lot of that from Derrick Jones Jr. too. And he's at a much more cost-efficient contract And I think, you know, Spoelstra recently went to Derrick Jones Jr. as a starter in replacement of Jimmy Butler. He was in there in clutch situations. And so I think if you're looking at this roster, I don't know that a trade needs to happen. I don't know that Covington is such a significant upgrade over what Derrick Jones Jr. can do, especially in the zone defense that Eric Spoelstra likes to use so often. And so I don't know that a trade is likely to happen. I would vote no. I don't think a trade is going to happen. I think they're going to stand pat at the trade deadline. But if you're going to make a move, and if you're going to make a move for a 3-and-D player, Covington makes a whole heck of a lot of sense. But we'll see how it plays out. Again, you look at this team, and you have concerns about how close the game was against a bad team in Sacramento. You have concerns about what happened when they gave up a 21-point lead to the Washington Wizards, when they got blown out by the Wizards just a few weeks ago. They've had some very tough games there. They have some upcoming games on the schedule that are pretty tough. And they've also gotten very lucky because they've had a very good season when it comes to clutch situations and in overtime games. Those are not good statistics when it comes to showing whether or not you can be a consistently high-level team, especially when it comes to the playoffs. And you wonder whether or not Miami is geared to make a deep playoff run. And so you have to weigh whether or not you want to take a chance to make a trade this year and potentially upset chemistry and see whether or not you can get somebody who can fit in and take this team to another level. Or if it's just going to be a complimentary role player, I'm not sure that it's worth making that trade when eventually Justice Winslow is going to be healthy, when you're already getting some high-level production from Derrick Jones Jr. and others. I don't know that a trade necessarily makes sense. I think you can look at quote-unquote wasted salary cap space for Deion Waiters. A few weeks ago, you would have made that argument for Kelly Olynyk. Now he's playing at a high level and contributing in clutch situations. So it changes pretty dramatically from game to day and from week to week, and I don't know that you want to make a rash decision. I don't know if it's worth it to trade guys like that. This isn't a move to acquire a clear superstar, because that doesn't seem likely. I don't know that there's a true superstar available on the market right now. The time to acquire Chris Paul has passed. That doesn't seem likely. He's already clearly stated in a piece recently by Rowan McCartney of SI.com and a friend of the program. He told Rowan, look, I have no interest in waiving the fourth year of his contract, his player option. He's not going to give up the 40-something million that he's due at that point in his career, even when he's going to be older and maybe potentially less effective. And so that changes Miami's plan when it comes to potentially acquiring a Giannis or Victor or anybody else. And so I don't think Chris Paul is likely an option anytime soon. If you're going to make a move, it's going to be on the fringes, a guy like Covington or Ariza, but he's out of the running because he was just traded to the Portland Trailblazers from the Kings. So either way, I wouldn't expect that move to happen. And I think that's fine. I think you look at this team and you have to kind of stay the course. You have to be a little patient. I think I've preached patience during the last couple of seasons when it was counting on Justice Winslow and Josh Richardson to take steps in their development, when you weren't sure what you were going to get out of Deion Waiters and James Johnson and the other guys they had signed to the contracts that they did. And now that Josh Richardson is gone, that Winslow's hurt, and you have Jimmy Butler here, you're playing at a very high level. I mean, you're the second best team in the Eastern Conference. I don't know that a trade is necessary, because you want to kind of roll the dice and see what you have on this roster, whether or not the young players like Robinson and Nunn in particular are capable of stepping up in playoff situations. That's where you really prove yourself as an NBA player. And they may embrace that challenge. They may be up to it. They may fall apart, but you'll never know if you trade them away for a role player like Covington. So if I had to guess, I'd say a move isn't likely to happen. But anyway, that's it for today. Thank you for listening. I'll try to have a recap up after Friday's game against the Los Angeles Clippers. But you can always connect with me on Twitter using the hashtag AskLOHeat, or you can email me at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. I'm David Ramil, signing off and thanking you as always for your support.
Yeah! Wrap it up, B.